Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Devin Simone.
And I'm Tori Deal, and this is MTV's official Challenge podcast.
And these episodes are getting a little bit of chaosity.
Dude, how good are they, though? Like, really?
I was talking to someone about it today, actually, that, like, USA 2, man, if you're gonna do it, this is the way to do it. Because it is every which way. Things are going up, then down, then left. Each week is a different thing, and I'm here for it. I am here for it.
I think so, too. I think when we were even in there, like, the producers were coming up to us, and they were like, wow, like, this is good.
Yeah.
This is exactly what needed to happen in order for it to be an amazing season, because there was a Challenge USA 1. You bring in all of these people who maybe have been a part of the Challenge world briefly, or they've been a part of some other world like Survivor and Big Brother. They have their own built-in alliances. They know how to play the game. You bring in some vets for some nostalgia, and this thing hits the roof. It's just incredible.
It's so good. And not even just nostalgia, because again, like, I love seeing that this, we're going to get into it. We'll do a quick recap, and then I got to give out my gold star. I'm so excited, you guys, to give out my gold star for this week's episode. All right. We see the unboxed challenge, which props to Wes for that strategy, and props to the green team for listening to him. Because they could have easily been like, no, Grandpa, but Wes was right. And he did a really good job. Then we see Cassidy and Chris get voted in. Might we say even props to Wes there, right?
For sure.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yep.
Run things. Then the Hopper selects Alyssa L, even though she only had one ball in. Wait, who did you vote for in the hat trick? What was the name on your
Alyssa
thing?
L.
No! And Tori being the reason Alyssa got eliminated this season.
Unintentionally, for the record. It was the hat trick. It was the hat trick.
Does Bananas know this? I mean, after we had him on last week and he talked about.
Yeah, he does. Now he knows, I know, so, man.
So then we get Cassidy versus Alyssa L, and Cassidy crushes it. I mean, amazing job. And then Cassidy, you know, decides to stay and go back to her team, right? Sticking with her team. A lot, just like a lot was happening in this episode. But if I had to say who my timeout of the week goes to. My timeout of the week probably has to go to, I wasn't prepared for that. I'm prepared for my gold star, but it probably has to go to, I don't know, no one made me mad this episode. Like, I feel like everybody carried their weight. Everybody did their thing. Didn't love TJ's wardrobe as much. Maybe that's what gets it. I don't know. But I feel like there was nothing crazy. But what stands out as the gold star of the week was the queen of Operation MF and Hat Trick. I mean, that is so brilliant. And on last week's episode of the podcast, when you mentioned, you and Bananas were like, oh, the hat trick's coming up, I'm thinking, there they go, giving some damn spoilers again. Because usually a hat trick, three-peat, right? So I'm like, oh, they must have like won again, or they're doing something. No, no, no. It was literally a hat, and they pulled some tricks out of it. And Queen Tori Deal came up with that, and it is just brilliant. Absolutely great gameplay.
Thank you. You know what happened? We got to a point in the game now where you see the divide between Big Brother and Survivor, and I had people from Survivor in my ear. I had people from Big Brother in my ear, and this is the first time I'm receiving any intel, any information, anybody trying to sway my vote finally had some power to it.
Yeah, so like, they actually cared.
How are we going to continue to look like we have power? Let's all get on the same page and, you know, create this chaotic voting system, but it was meant to be like a splatter of votes everywhere, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, it definitely was. Yes.
And I couldn't believe it when my ball, you know, she has so many interview moments where she's like, yeah, you know, I love when people don't see this coming. I love when, I love that the best thing. And then all of a sudden, and first of all, there was no malice or no ill intent with my vote. It was just part of the hat trick. But karma just comes back and it's like, okay, well, you like surprises.
Yeah, you like surprises. Well, knock, knock, here I am. 100%. 100%. Like, that was so wild, so beautifully done. And I don't know, it's interesting, like, I'm disappointed we don't have Alyssa on this season. We did get to have her on for USA One. And she was, you know, wonderful. And we learned a lot from her when she was on that time. But I am intrigued because on one hand, it's interesting to see she had so much to say about bananas. And we heard last week about her apparent, like, disdain for bananas and his loudness. I don't know. And just the way she really came in targeting the bets, and also the way she was very much a leader, because even bananas gave her credit to just her leadership abilities and kind of, you know, she had a lot of Big Brother, a lot of people kind of underneath her. So I wonder what that's going to do for the game moving forward. But also, I feel like, I don't know, I have mixed feelings sometimes when people talk a big game and they talk a lot and then now you got to back it. I feel like maybe it comes back down to the challenge thing again. You know, like, now you got to back it up. And so it's not that she's not a great competitor. She is. And she was last season as well. But I don't know. I just feel like we see that maybe you're a little more bark than you are bite. At least it appeared that way this season.
What I think is she really relies heavily on her puzzle abilities and her strategy abilities, just because she looks around and she recognizes, like, Cassidy
patterns even mentions, and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cassidy mentions it in the episode a little later about the size being able to throw her body into the cage. Like,
yeah.
So I think that she puts a strong emphasis on those qualities about her. She's a very sweet girl. Like, she was
very
charming to hang out with. You know, I definitely think that she just recognizes she's in a shark tank with a bunch of badass competitors. She's like, what's her edge? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and like I said, on the podcast last season, USA One, she was lovely as well. But I also think there's a little bit of, like, credence to you can be big and bad in interview. Because not everyone who will talk in interview will say what they said in interview to the person's face, right? And so when there's a lot of commentary in interview, it goes back to that, like, say it with your chest thing. And but although she did apparently say certain things with her chest to bananas around pulling him aside and being like, this is why I don't like you, which is wild. Right.
Yeah. No, she had a lot of spice to her. Like, she.
Yeah.
She has a lot. And so I don't think she was expecting the vote, obviously. I wasn't expecting it. When her name got picked, I felt like I won bingo, because that's how much I didn't think I was.
Not my won bingo.
It's honestly how I felt. I was like, wow, bingo. Like, that was my ball. Like, I did not expect it to be picked at all, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. That is so just absolutely wild. I definitely think the game's going to miss her because she had such a kind of under the radar influence, or not under the radar, but you know what I mean? Like, she was such a powerful strategist, then it's definitely shifting the game. Like, I can only imagine it's going to shift. But who for you this week is your gold star and timeout, if you have one?
Dude, my timeout goes to bananas, because why would you put your ball on Fessy?
Oh,
like,
yes.
For Operation Hattrick. And I just found this out now. Like, he lied to me all the way up through filming. Yeah. Like, which is fine. He can lie. This is his game, whatever. But, like, we were all like, who the hell voted for Fessy? Like, and that put Fessy on edge. Like, it was just so out there. And the only thing that I can think is, Tiff's name was on one of those things, and Bananas and Tiff were getting really close as just, like, friends. They really enjoyed it. They're just friends, right? And, like, alliance building. Yeah. I have this weird feeling, and I don't know, maybe we'll get the information that he pulled Tiff's name and he was like, I actually don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be true. Oh, we should have. Of course, this episode would happen now and not when we had him on last week, because now I want to know that. I want to know that theory. I'm going to text him.
Yeah. We have to find out. We have to find out. So that's my timeout. My gold star.
Who's your gold star?
I gotta give it to Wes. Like, I'm not gonna take the credit for, you gave me one already. I'll pass mine to another veteran of the game. And I think that he had the ability to convince his team to work with him. I think that his strategy in the challenge allowed them to truly respect him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he obviously is holding it down for the vets. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing an excellent job. It's been so enjoyable watching Wes play this game. I'm excited and nervous about how this feud with Cassidy starts to play out, because it seems like they both really start going for each other. But it's been great watching Wes play and him be himself, but also be Wes. And also an honorable mention goes to when he said he's going to start being the laughable character. We didn't acknowledge when he's like, my new strategy is to be the like silly, goofy one. Yeah. Hilarious. Like,
wait, there's actually a backstory behind that skinny dip.
Ooh,
it was basically a bet that somebody made about somebody being on the cast, and Wes didn't believe Paulie was on the cast. But Anna says, like, Paulie's on the cast. And they said, if Paulie's on the cast, then Wes has to go skinny dipping in the pool. If Paulie's not, Bananas has to do it. So that's where that actually came from.
Oh my God. Love that.
Yeah.
Love
that. Just so a little good behind the scenes for you. But
we love a little too.
I think we should get some more behind the scenes from Cassidy, yes, who absolutely dominated this episode. We got to see the heartfelt side of her story, the reason why she's fighting. We got to watch her compete, get a little spicy in the club. Like, I think that we're really, we're peeling back the layers right now with Cassidy, and I'm really excited to hear what she has to say.
Absolutely. Okay. We're going to go take a quick break, and then after that, we are going to talk to Cassidy and maybe even meet Chaosity. Stay tuned.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
You may know her as somebody who should have won season 43 of Survivor. She is the creator and the mother of the blue team. And she is now the first female rookie to win an elimination this season. Give it up for Cassidy Clark. Woo!
Welcome. Wow, that was, honestly, I don't know if I deserve that introduction. That was so sweet. Thank you.
You deserve it.
I'm excited.
You
to be
are
here.
Mother in the way that Tori said. And you're the first real rookie we've had on the podcast so far this season, where you are fully new to the challenge. So what was that? Yeah. Did you do any prep work beforehand? Were you familiar with the challenge? Tell us all the thoughts.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, it's an honor to be here. So thank you so much for having me on. And I'm really excited to get into everything to do with my challenge experience in this episode and all that. For the genesis of my, I think, challenge experience, I watched it when I was in high school. So I was like a big challenge fan back in the day. I remember like one of my best friends in high school, we would watch it all the time. Like I remember Wes and Bananas and John A. And I loved the show, you know, when I was 15, 16. And then I kind of fell off the wagon with it for a while. And so I honestly didn't pick it back up until the Challenge USA came out. And I noticed that, like, you know, there were Survivor players that were going to play on it. So I was really excited about that, to see some of my like all-time Survivor greats, like, play in this new, like, the show that I used to watch back in the day. And so I kind of picked it back up then. And then from there, I watched a few other seasons. This is going to sound really bad, but when I got the call to be on the Challenge, obviously I was super excited and it was really nostalgic for me. But part of me like avoided I should have been studying the game, watching as many seasons as I could, just like preparing, getting to know all these veterans that could potentially be on it and their gameplay and all of that. But there was a part of me that was like really nervous about going on the challenge to begin with. And so I was like, I feel like if I watch too much of it, it's going to scare me and I'm going to psych myself out and not want to go. So I like,
what were you nervous about?
I was just, you know, the challenges are really intense. And to be honest, like, I know I did well, like really well in Survivor with like winning multiple immunities and everything like that. But I haven't been a very athletic person for most of my life. I mean, as a kid, I played a ton of sports, but then I just became like an artistic person and I focused really more on the arts. And so I didn't really do a lot of physical stuff as I got older. And so I kind of wasn't too sure of like my abilities and if I was going to be able to take on some of these like really intense, physically demanding, like terrifying challenges. You know, it's a little bit of a different caliber than Survivor. And so I had some faith in myself after seeing myself do well on Survivor, but it was still intimidating because, I mean, a lot of the women and just the people in general that go on the show are like so physically fit. I'm gonna get absolutely crushed if I go against people like that, you know?
No.
So I didn't actually watch as much as I should have, and I kind of went into the show, I don't want to say blind, but and there's a part of me that's glad that I went into it with like a, I don't want to say fresh perspective, but just like not having preconceived notions of all of these people, I think a lot of people just get certain reputations being on TV and it's not always true to like their character and who they really are. And so I didn't want to make any assumptions about people going in and then just like disregard them or really want to work with them or whatever. I wanted to just gauge it based off of like my first impressions, my intuition and things like that. So I'm kind of glad I did it that way, but I was definitely a little bit unprepared going. I'll just say that. I mean, a really long-winded answer, but
to be unprepared and then to immediately have to be a captain and then not. Yeah. Need, I mean, that's a lot, but like you said, you trust your intuition and you have a good sense of following your energy and making sure that you're doing decisions that align with what your heart wants you to do. But, you know, it brings me over to what happened last week because I'm curious, like, how tapped in you really were. So when Desi was nominated for that double elimination and you saw your name was up there twice on the board, did you know in that moment who put your balls in the hopper?
I think I figured it was obviously some of the veterans. You know, I was hoping that it wasn't Tori because she was on my team, but you never know. I can't remember who else was still there. I don't know if John A was still there or not. I don't think she was. So I think maybe whether it was conversations I had or if it was just like deduction or what, I can't remember exactly. But I mean, it seems like the conversation I had this week, I seemed pretty certain that, or I had an inkling that it was them, and I just can't remember why. Yeah.
It seemed like you knew it was what, I mean, it seemed like, at least from watching it, that your ire went towards Wes pretty quickly. And early on, it seems that you were kind of like, Wes is the worst, going after him. I'm wondering, after watching this episode and seeing where he acknowledges in the beginning, look, I didn't have a beef with Cassidy. I didn't really want to go with Cassie, but my team in the week prior sort of set it up, making it seem like that was going to be the team vote or what have you. So I kind of went along, even though that wasn't my thing. And then his team blindsided him by all voting for Amanda and he didn't know. And he sort of says, look, now I'm out to dry. Does it make you feel differently now seeing that, without giving anything away as far as what happens, but just knowing that now and knowing that he really wasn't gunning for you initially, at least, does that make you feel any differently, or is he still the worst ginger to ever play?
Okay, well, first thing I'll say is Wes started the ginger feud. I don't even really consider myself that. I was like, maybe I'm half ginger, but
You're blonde now, by the way. It looks fabulous.
Oh, thank you. I'm pretty used to being blonde. I just let my hair grow out sometimes, you know. But he wanted to be the only ginger there. And I think that was, you know, mostly a joke, but I was like, you can have that, you know, it's fine. But even like the first night he was like being all, I don't know the word to say, but he was like giving me a hard time the first night because of that.
He's negging.
And I was like, don't worry, Wes, I'll win you over. Like, it'll be fine. And we had this like, we had like playful banter, but I've known people like Wes in my past who are really good at playing the mind games, being a little bit manipulative. Like he owns that part of himself, right? Like he's kind of like the mastermind kind of guy wanting to puppet things from the shadows. And I've known people like that. And I've gotten really attuned to people like that. So I can sense when people's energies are like that. And so I just, after kind of getting to know Wes, I could just kind of see his little tentacles kind of working in the game in a more subtle way that like I think some people don't pick up on if they haven't like been in friendships or dated people that are kind of similar to that or gotten like a lot of exposure to that. And so I just feel like I could see his game more clearly. Even from not even watching, I think if I watched past seasons, that would be pretty obvious to me.
Oh, but, girl. Yeah.
I could have just figured that out before, you know, if I've been prepared,
but hearing him now sort of say where he expresses in his
right. Okay.
That
yes.
He really wasn't initially trying to go for you.
Yeah. So the reason that there is a part of me that's like, yeah, I probably could have avoided this whole feud with an extremely seasoned and, you know, competitive and just like an all around great player. I probably could have avoided making such a huge enemy. by not going so much after him after this vote. But the thing was, Monty and Tyler, I had a conversation with them and they pretty much blamed the whole thing on Wes. They said he was gunning for me. They said they didn't want to, but he was like, you made me vote this way. Now I want Cassidy. You guys need to side with me and whatever. And they kind of threw him under the bus in that way to save their own skin, I'm assuming. And so it was like, okay, so this is what Wes wanted me in. Wes is gunning for me. I don't really know why, but I had sensed that there was maybe like, so it wasn't going to be a perfectly smooth road with me and Wes already just because of our personalities. But they kind of threw him under the bus. And then I had heard Wes. Okay. So Chris told me that Wes had made him swear on his daughter. Like he has a baby. Chris has a baby daughter. And he had made him swear on his baby daughter's life that he wouldn't vote for him in the prior vote. And so when I heard that, like Chris was like dishing all this stuff to me because Wes had thrown him in again, right? Wes had said his name. And so me and him are talking about all these things, like why they throw us in. And he mentions that. And I was like, oh, I don't like that at all. Like that really rubs me the wrong way. And so after hearing that and just hearing like Wes has been making survivor people specifically make these promises because he doesn't trust us. I'm just like that. I'm not cool with that. Like you shouldn't make people swear on people's lives, things that matter to them. That's a little too much for me. So
although to be fair though, people are adults and there's not anything anyone could do to make me swear on anyone.
That's fair. I don't think that, I mean, I don't know if Chris did swear or not, but just that having that pressure on there. And then if you say, no, I'm not going to swear, then he's like, well, I don't trust you. I don't believe you. You're not whatever kind of puts you in a tough position. So I just didn't like that. And so that combined with him getting like a blame from the green team just made me feel like, okay, this guy's coming after me.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? And it's like a really heated moment. I'm scared. I've never been in an elimination. They look really intense. And so I think I definitely fueled most of my anger towards him. But I was also upset with Monty and Tyler because I felt like I had started to build good relationships with them.
That's my next question. Like, after watching it back, like, there's three people I want to know about if you kind of look at them differently after seeing this. One, when you see Desi originally pitch your name to Wes and then he co-signs it, did you know Desi did that? And then two, with Monty and Tyler, obviously you said that they were saying that it was all Wes's fault, but now watching it back, do you believe that?
So seeing Desi say my name obviously hurt, right? Because the survivors are all trying to protect each other and whatnot, but it's not that surprising. And to be perfectly honest, like I didn't necessarily have her in my long-term plans either because she's such a strong competitor. And so, you know, but that early on having her like kind of throwing me under the bus is, that sucks. That's unfortunate. But I would be a hypocrite if I said that I maybe wouldn't have done the same thing to her if the roles reversed, if that's what I felt like needed to be done, right? And if I felt like I wasn't gonna get caught doing that, but yeah, so that was kind of interesting to see. And then with the Monty and Tyler thing, I do think that they threw Wes under the bus more than, I'm sure they probably weren't so pressed at the decision to throw me in, right? Because I am a survivor player. Survivors have, you know, our group is strong. I'm on the blue team. The blue team hasn't lost a member yet. So if I felt, do I feel like it was really, like Wes had to really convince them to throw me in because they really didn't want to? No, it wasn't like it was necessarily that bad for their game. I just felt like I had tried to protect Monty in like a previous vote. And I just felt like I started growing close to them just like, and was hoping that we could potentially somehow work together. I felt like there's going to come a time when we might need each other and these lines are not going to be so set. And so I was just hoping that I would have them for a little bit longer, or at least have like one or two friends in Big Brother that might protect me.
But now seeing what you saw, do you feel like they betrayed that friendship a little bit? I guess that's sort of our point.
Listen,
that's kind of what we want to know is like you get to see it back now and you have more information than you did in the heat of the moment, which by the way, I'm just going to say an aside, I like Fired Up Cassidy. That was great to see. You came in hot this episode and it looks like next episode you were ready to go.
Dude.
I'm excited. I'm here for it.
Her nickname
You should have seen me at the, sorry.
No, it's okay. Her nickname is Chaosity.
Oh God.
It's amazing.
Don't tell them that. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's good. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's kind of fun because in middle school, my like scene name was, I donned myself Chaos Cassidy like on my MySpace, like when I was 11. So it's kind of like, it's kind of full circle. And so I'm not mad at it, but it is like, it's,
I want to be chaosity. I love that. Can we name this episode Chaosity? I always ask that, and they never change the name of the episodes. But can we please? I love
it. It would have been more chaosity if the I did actually call out Wes. We can get to this later in the episode, but I did call Wes out at the elimination on the sand, which probably was, I mean, it definitely was risky for my game. But so I do, when I really want to say something, like I can't sometimes hold back. And what we actually didn't see is, as far as Monty and Tyler, like I didn't actually fully blame Wes. I kind of yelled at Monty and Tyler, if I'm not going to lie, like that night, you know, you saw just a clip of me saying, hey boys, you want to talk?
And
eventually came downstairs and I did kind of chew into them a little bit. So it wasn't Wes getting all of the heat. It was just, I felt like Monty and Tyler like were almost like being manipulated. They're smart guys. I'm not going to say they were being controlled by him, but I just felt like they were acting on his wishes. And it just felt silly to me to like be the puppet of like the veterans when they're such a like great players. And now we're just going to sit here and do their bidding for them. That's kind of felt like what I felt they were doing with Wes. And so I was mad at them, but then I felt like Wes was like, he had this like master plan. And so I felt like he was more of the person that I needed to focus on because he was a bigger threat to me. And he was the one that was going to be able to, I thought he was my biggest threat at that point to get me out in the future versus Monty or Tyler, where it was just a tough decision for them. I felt like at this point, Wes has made an enemy of me. Now he's not going to stop till he gets me out. That was kind of why I focused more on him, if that makes sense.
Tori, what was your thought being in the house as well? Like, as you're seeing all this play out, and given that you know Wes, but, you know, like you've known him longer, did you get the feeling in the house that he really was gunning for Cassidy? Like, what was the other energy for the people kind of outside of the feud?
Yeah, I think, you know, Wes does have a reputation that precedes him. And I think sometimes he gets really uncomfortable. Like, he gets upset when people tie back his because he tries to dissociate from that. He's trying to separate from it. But listen, he is a strategic player. He does. Yeah. He's doing his best right now. And how could I be mad at it? He's trying to save the challenge vets. So, like, I'm looking at the situation like anybody would look. Well, okay, if it's not me, then it's fine. It doesn't even matter what way it goes. I don't care.
Yeah.
And so I think ultimately, I don't think Cassidy's in the wrong, because when you watch it back, he's over there strategizing. Yeah.
I don't think there's a right or wrong, to be clear, either way. It's real.
Just
your real feelings. Yeah. It's real time, real feelings, real everything going on in the house. Real chaos.
Yeah. But I could say, like, you know, obviously Wes is a really important player on that green team. We saw it with the strategy that he decided during that challenge. And Cass, I want to know, because you were the creator, the mother of the blue team, like, how did you feel we competed in that daily challenge? And like, where do you think we stand in comparison to the other teams?
So let's see. I mean, I felt like from the beginning that we were a really strong team. I mean, I think even just winning the first challenge was super good for our morale and like our trajectory and our momentum. The next challenge was a little bit of a hit. Then we win the capsize. And then we, you know, had to throw the other one.
Did you like bananas coming to your team?
Bananas.
Oh, she's making a face, guys.
He grew on you.
It's hard. Oh, yeah. He definitely grew on me. Honestly, like, I love bananas. He's a character for sure, you know, and he actually has surprisingly a lot of depth to him that, like, I think
he hides
behind a little bit with his, like, his bravado and his sarcasm and everything like that. But he's definitely got a good heart. And but I didn't know him that well up at this point, you know, and I just was like, oh, he's got kind of he's strong willed. He's got a lot of voice. And I don't know how that's going to mesh with the team, because our team was working so well together at this point. And I feel like we all felt like we could have a voice and there wasn't one person trying to take control. And I was just a little worried from seeing Bananas compete in other challenges that he might overtake the team a little bit. But he ended up being a good team player, and I was happy to have him, you know. But I was nervous about our team getting broken up like that, because it was like, I built this team and it starts changing and you're like, this is my baby. But it's evolving too, you know, and then we got Desi, which I thought she was an asset as well, even though I was sad to see Alyssa go. Yeah, I mean, I just felt like once people were going into elimination and winning and then deflecting to the blue team, it kind of like, as you know, it was a little bittersweet to see the team change, but we kept getting stronger through these stronger players who are winning these eliminations coming onto our team. And so it was, I think we got better over time, you know, honestly. But I felt like we had a good chance to win. And then the green team, I think it was just the strategy was on their side this time. And it was actually a little bit of a disadvantage, I think, to have a bigger team. But I thought, you know, even when the green team had won, I felt okay about being potentially safe just because I thought I had Alyssa and Monty and Tyler and Michaela on my side. And so I think that was why it was a little bit stronger of a reaction for me, because I didn't really see it coming as much.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Two questions. First question, because I didn't fully understand in watching it. So each of you guys obviously had a bucket or box or whatever that corresponded with your weight, right? With puzzle pieces in it. Now, when you get up to a puzzle platform thing, how do you know which box holds the puzzle pieces for that corresponding puzzle?
No.
There wasn't. You could do any puzzle.
The puzzle was inside.
Gotcha. Because the big squares didn't really matter. They were just to hold the puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like a blank station. Yeah. Blank station. Gotcha. And then you get to pick which box you want to, which puzzle you want to solve. Yeah.
And I think that we ended up doing more puzzles, right? Or
I think, listen, yeah. Yeah. We did like four.
Yeah. So the green team definitely only did one, and then it was a straight shot walk. But we tried to do four or five.
How many puzzle stations were there?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how many. We didn't end up doing all of them, but it was just we had too many boxes and too many people that were struggling with the boxes.
Yeah.
So we had no choice.
Chaotic.
Yeah, we had no choice but to do it. But it was a hard battle. It was a hard fight, which leads me into one of my favorite scenes from this episode is you talking about why you're fighting so hard on the challenge cast and opening up about the situation with your sister. Like, I knew that from talking in the house with you, but it really was beautiful to see her picture and to hear you talk about that. And so maybe would you just share a little bit more about that journey with us?
Yeah, it was really touching to see that and that they showed a little bit about my sister and my journey to like get here and what I'm fighting for. And she was, my sister obviously had, she had passed away when I played Survivor. And I still, you know, I had this necklace that I wore with, I don't have it on now, but it's like, it's a moon and it's like a little urn necklace. So you put ashes in it. And I brought that with me on Survivor. And I would just, I just felt like I had her spirit with me and it helped me to get through Survivor. Like there's so many moments where I felt defeated. I felt down, I was struggling and just like having her energy there and her spirit to guide me and like give me just the push I needed to continue was like so pivotal to my game in Survivor. And so, you know, like I felt like coming to the challenge that I still had that kind of like superpower with me that I had her spirit there. And I brought the necklace with me again. You can even see me messing with it like before the votes are read or the ball is pulled from the hopper. And so it was really touching to get to that they shared that because it is like a huge thing that I'm fighting for. I mean, you know, she left two children behind, you know, she was a young mom and I just like, I've watched them grow up since they were babies. And I just feel like, you know, partially responsible for them and their well-being because I was like so close to my sister. We're close in age and I feel like I'm the closest thing that they see when like they, you know, they have their mom and then I'm just like a little bit younger than her. And so I feel like I'm the closest, not like thing to, that they have to a mom because my mom is actually kind of the closest thing they have to a mom. She's like helping to raise them and everything. But I just want to like be able to give them what my sister isn't here to give them, you know. I want them to feel safe and secure. I want them to grow up happy and loved and have all the opportunities that they could dream of. And that's really the thing I was fighting for in Survivor. And it's the thing that I was fighting for in the challenge because I didn't win Survivor. And so it's just what gives me the push to keep going. You know, you need something else to drive you in these moments when you're in in these tough positions, you need something more to get you through it. And so
bigger than yourself.
Yeah, so that was really sweet to see.
That was really beautiful.
Okay, guys, we need to take a quick break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything The Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
as we're starting to see a lot of things flip in this house, we see Chaosity starting to peek through, which I'm fired up about. We also see Operation Hat Trick come about, which is Tori. I mean, MVP move, right? Like, words can't. Cassidy, is this your first time seeing or hearing about Operation Hat Trick?
I think I heard through the grapevine about Operation Hat Trick, but not until well after the season. So it's really, it's funny to like watch it play out. And man, I just feel for Alyssa because she was a real victim of Operation Hat Trick. Like, truly, if that was the reason I went out, I would have been like, crushed me. That's tough.
But I feel like if in one way it's like, she's the victim, but not because I feel like this is, as just a viewer, I mean, this whole season has been a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Especially between vets and rookies in a way that I don't think we've seen in previous seasons, maybe even ever. Like, this season's really turning up to be, I was actually talking to someone today, not giving them spoilers, but just saying like, because they watched USA 1 and I was like, no, USA 2 is like, game is all the things, yeah. All the things. So, you know, you rookies, you newbies are coming in hot, coming in organized, have been going at the vets, putting the vets on the back foot, right? Making them kind of like essentially the rookies in this game, understandably and deservedly so. But I feel like now in the last couple episodes, we're getting to see a little bit of what makes the vets mm-hmm. and the legends, right? Which is this outside of the box thinking, which is Team Blue throwing that challenge,
the
right?
Challenge.
To make sure that the red team wins, which is Tori coming in with an MVP move of Operation Hat Trick, which is Tori telling them to flush it down the toilet and Bananas being like, I'm going to eat it, which is weird. I don't know if they weren't serving you guys food in the house or what, but he could have just flushed it. He didn't need to eat his piece of paper, yeah. But really brilliant. And I feel like the reason why I say Alyssa is not a victim is because this is what happens when you shoot at the vets though, right? Like mm-hmm. you shot at the vets, not you specifically, Cassidy, but yeah. The rookies shot at the vets.
Yeah.
They're now shooting back, but they're kind of coming in with machines and just firing yeah. equally. But I mean, that's kind of what happens when you make an enemy with the whole yeah. squad. Are you?
No, it was, yeah. it was brilliant for sure. It is cool to, you know, see all these things that I obviously wasn't aware of in the house.
In the room, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you see why they've made the show what it is and why they're legends. And it's really fascinating to like learn from them in this way too. And I knew like going in that we had somewhat of an uphill battle. Like we did have the numbers, but they have the experience. They have the grit, they have, you know, the right mindset, the strategy and all of that. And even though they had less numbers, like they are such a force to be reckoned with that I knew it was like, we're pretty much like on even playing ground. You know, if we're not careful at the beginning of the game and they gain traction, they could just demolish us with even like a few numbers. So, it was definitely shaky ground for sure. And I think we were all a little bit scared too, even yeah. though we did technically have the numbers, you know, and it is kind of easy in a game like this where there's secret voting and these things going on to turn people against each other. So even though Big Brother and Survivor were trying to be, and the Amazing Race were trying to be like a somewhat united group to take out the vets, like that all started to crumble really quickly because
oh yeah, girl, we see that
secrecy, these different teams, like the vets and like their ways, their, you know, their capabilities, the like and pulling the strings.
Not
so.
You blaming the vets for it.
No, just what I'm saying. Oh, come on, they sowed so much chaos, and that was what they had to do to be able to survive. So.
This coming from Chaosity is saying
yes,
that they, the
I'm learning from the best as I go along.
You know what I got to say, though? We thought Operation Hat Trick was just, like, flawless, and then come to find out Bananas actually voted for Fessy. Like, that... That was just...
Did you know that, Tori,
no!
until watching the episode?
No! So this was news to me. I'm like, wow, no matter what we think, we still don't even know who we're working with. Like, Bananas had that one hidden from us the whole time, so
yeah, just that's really
dude
funny.
Kept everybody on their toes. I mean, all around it's been like really cool to watch this all play out. And I think Cass, like, you're a rookie and like you guys really did come in with a strategy, and although the vets are firing back now, you guys had this organized front. So I want to know from your side, who was the ringleader, whether it be the ringleader of Survivor or the ringleader of you guys working with Big Brother to get the vets out, like where did that stem from?
So I would say, I think survivors just in general have, and I know the Big Brothers too, like you have this, and the vets too, like we all have this innate loyalty to each other just because we've been through the shits together. We've been through these really difficult situations. Even if we haven't been on the same seasons, like we understand each other in a way that we don't necessarily understand the others. And so I think there was always this just natural camaraderie amongst the survivors. But it was interesting because within the survivor group, in my mind, at least, there was sort of like two factions in the survivor group in a way. And the way I saw it was like Desi, Chanel, and Mikayla were super tight. And then I saw more of like, and we, at the beginning, we were all working together more closely, but I felt like I ended up feeling like I could talk more or I don't know, like me, Chris, Sebastian, and Michelle, I felt like we're kind of closer in that way. And then they had gotten closer, but then Michelle was really close to them too. So I wasn't really sure, but like Mikayla really didn't like Chris or Sebastian that much. And so there was kind of these divides within the survivor thing. And then there ended up being a little bit of beef with me and Mikayla at some point. And it just felt like, I felt like Mikayla sort of wanted to be the ringleader in the survivor group just because she's really intelligent and she's a great strategist. And so she had, she had really strong ideas and opinions, and a lot of them were super valuable and valid. And me and Mikayla would get together, especially early on in the game, and talk a lot of strategy and things. But sometimes it felt like my voice wasn't really being heard within that group. And so that kind of, and Michelle sort of felt the same way too, kind of felt like we started to have differing opinions about who we wanted to go for. And we started to have different ideas of what we wanted our game to look like at the end. And so eventually there did start to be some cracks forming. But I wouldn't say there's necessarily one ringleader. I just think for as long as we could, even though there were cracks, we were just trying to stay Survivor strong for like just literally as long as we could, because we knew once they started picking us off that it would only be a matter of time before, like, you know, because we were perceived as such a strong group that we were just going to get pummeled if we started losing numbers. But the problem is people are coming after us, right? And it's happening, like we're under threat, but they just can't get us out because we keep winning the elimination. So it's like, that was, I think, really the reason why Survivor up to this point has still been able to stay as strong as they were, just because like we were getting thrown in and we were getting targeted. It's just we were coming back out of the eliminations. So yeah, I don't know if that answered the question or not.
No, I think it's valid, and I think that's like it's obvious what's happening. I just was interested in hearing it from you, somebody who was on the inside of the Survivor Alliance, which was the alliance that I was trying to get into for so long. Like I was like, damn, I want to go strand myself on an island right now so like they could feel like I'm one of their own.
Yeah. What was tough for me within the Survivor Alliance is like, obviously Chris and Sebastian weren't threats to me because they were guys and they were going to be running most likely like their own final or whatever. And so for me, the women were more of my competition in the game as for goes, like in the show, usually there's a male winner and a female winner. And so the hardest thing for me was I wanted to stay Survivor strong and protect everybody in Survivor, and I did as much as I could. But at the same time, I'm looking at the end game and I'm like, if I have to go against like people like Desi and Chanel and Mikayla, who are incredibly strong competitors, I was super nervous about that. So I'm like, I'm playing with the, and I was even getting close to Tori at this point because we're rooming together and we have a lot of similar interests and things. And so I was like cats. I'm getting really close to all the strong women and I'm kind of scared. Like, is this going to be good for my game in the long term if I'm a lot like allied with all the strong women?
Trying to protect the people. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they might just completely crush me at the end if I'm in there with them. So it was tough. It was like I was split between this.
You proved in this elimination that you are also a strong girl. We saw you book through it.
Yeah. What was your strategy when you saw the cage?
I think it helped that I had a little bit more like body weight on Alyssa, because it really ended up being just like throwing yourself and all of your weight into this cage. And I truly when I get in the zone, like whenever I get my backs against the wall, that's when I will literally give everything I have inside of me. And I didn't think about getting hurt. I didn't think about like what this was doing to my body. I mean, I had bruises all over my knees because my knee pads fell down. I was beat up after this challenge, but I was just like throwing myself as hard as I could. And I was like, whenever I would, because it's really, this cage is so much heavier than it probably even looks on camera. And so moving it was such a physical effort that like once you get it to roll, you have to throw your entire body just at this metal cage to get it to continue rolling even like a couple feet. And so just mm-hmm. you're just basically bashing yourself against metal for what this took like probably 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe 20, 30. I don't know. But it was but yeah, I mean I definitely like had a good lead on Alyssa, but once I started trying to put the flags on the light post, that's where she was able to catch up because I was at such a weird angle and I had, saw, but we had to keep adjusting ourselves and trying to like, it was so almost impossible to line yourself up with this light post where the cage door was. And so that was really the thing that almost tripped me up, but I had a huge lead at the beginning. It was just trying to see the number was where she was able to catch up. It took me like 10 minutes or 15 minutes even just to get the numbers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was so stressful. Cause I was like, oh my God, I'm doing so well. I might win this. And then I just get stuck at this part. And so that was a little scary, but it was cool to, I mean, you know, even Tori was telling me before this challenge, because I was obviously nervous, and she was like, this is like one of the best feelings you can have in the game is going to an election and coming out of it. And
yeah.
So, you know, obviously winning that was incredible. And it was such a good feeling because I was like, you know, I don't want to go home yet. I'm not ready to go. And I want to be able to prove myself. And so to be able to do that to win my first elimination was really amazing. And so as much as it was like, as difficult as the challenge was, and as much as I was beat up afterwards and had to like nurse my wounds for a little bit, it was really empowering too. And it made me more confident going forward in the game. So that was cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I did kind of get myself into a little bit of trouble because
How so?
Well, because I, at the beginning, TJ asked me, like, why do you think you're here? And he actually has the green team give a little speech about why they voted us in. And I felt like the speech that Wes gave was, like, not necessarily the full truth. So I kind of had a moment where I, like, called him out and I, like, just, like, sat on the stand, like, called Wes out, said he was, like, making deals with everybody. He's making people swear on stuff. And like all of these things, and it ended up being like, I don't want to say like a fight, but a little bit of a back and forth. And so I left that, and I was proud of myself for sticking up for against what I thought was like, you know, I mean, he was a big player, and it was probably stupid of me, honestly, to like call him out like that and make such a big enemy at so early in the game. But I was just like, I might go home right now, so I'm just gonna. And I also went into the show being like, I don't want to hold back. Like, I want to take risks. I want to say the things I want to say. I want to fully like just experience this in as authentically of a way as possible and not hold back, because I felt like I had done that in some ways in Survivor. And so I was like, I'm just going to take every risk that I can. I'm going to do whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm just going to fucking do what I want to do.
Well, I was there. I witnessed it. I thought it was awesome. I had the popcorn.
I felt like it was a good speech. Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah.
No, it was a good speech. And I'm not always the most eloquent speaker. So I was proud of what I said. And I was hoping it would get shown. But like what I'm trying to get is just that, yeah, I left this elimination feeling amazing, feeling like elated, empowered, excited. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I don't regret this thing that I did calling out Wes, but now I've affirmed this enemy in the game, and I'm gonna have to, and I'm gonna have to, you know, deal with this for as long as we're both still in the game. So I was also like, okay, I gotta figure out how to do some damage control, because I didn't regret it, but I knew that now I'm gonna have a big enemy and I have to be careful navigating this.
Yeah, it created a vulnerability, and we saw even before we got to the elimination. We saw just sort of your ire towards Wes when you yelled that he could not win the Bachelor competition that was being held on the night out. Whose idea was it to even have a Bachelor? Do you guys know who started that, to have a Bachelor competition?
I feel like it was mine.
That tracks.
I feel like,
good on you, because that's funny.
Dude, it was so funny. I don't want to take full credit because I don't actually remember. It was a fun night, but we made them do dance moves. Everybody did their own dance moves.
Stop it. The only one who had good answers was Monty. As a resident matchmaker, that's my real job, folks, for those who don't know. Monty was the only one with non-red flag answers, right? Which is, at least that we saw, which is, I'm a good communicator. You know, I'm a good lover. I'm thoughtful. Bessie throwing out his credit score, which we'd have to fact check anywhere, and his bank account, and everybody getting excited. That is not a green flag necessarily.
Yeah, like, that is kind of a red flag. That is a red flag.
And then Wes saying that he should, that he's not good enough or not worthy was so classic Wes, I feel so like. And then Chaosity comes in being like, no, he should not win. He cannot.
I don't fall for Wes's shit. That's why I was like, mm-mm. But also, obviously, I'm being salty, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was good. Little, it was all so drunk. Good. So I think I looked more mad than I actually was. I don't remember being mad about that, but who knows? It did seem a little like, no.
You definitely seemed tipsy. Yeah, it definitely didn't seem, it seemed, you seemed more tipsy that moment. Yeah.
And also, you had just been voted into elimination. Like, that was, you were nominated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, of course you're
gonna have.
I had
a fire outfit, though. I was proud of that. That looked, I was like, this is my last night out. I'm wearing my gold top.
Oh, well, it's not. And it wasn't your last night out, because now you come back into the house. You stick with Blue Team. What is your plans now going forward from this place?
Oh, man. So obviously I have some just work to do, because people who I thought might have my back, who I thought I could work with a little bit longer, people like Monty and Tyler, now have turned on me. I made, you know, Wes had made an enemy out of me. Then I made an enemy out of him. So now it's like, it's easy for us to just go after each other. So now I have another person on my back who's good at convincing people of things, I might add, who is a dangerous player to have against you. So now I'm like, okay, I need to figure out how to manage this and how to just watch my back. And how can we win as a team? Because really that's my best hope right now, because just something that I had noticed and that I feel like I had seen in other seasons of The Challenge is that when you get thrown in by people, it's easy for them to just keep throwing you in, because like Wes said, it's like, I made this enemy of this person, so now we're just going to go after her again. And so it becomes like, you know, once you get thrown in once, like, you can easily become the scapegoat or just the target over and over again, so people don't have to make new enemies. And so I'm like, I got to figure out how to make sure that doesn't happen, that I'm not going to be this person. Like, Chris is starting to get thrown in over and over, right? And I don't want to be that person. I don't have to keep fighting for my life. I don't know how many times I can survive this, you know? That was already such a tough elimination. So my most important, you know, obviously the most important thing in me was winning, because that's the only thing that's going to keep me safe at this point. But then I'm just having to do some damage control and take a look at my alliances, see if there's any bridges that can be repaired with some of the people that turned on me, and just try to strengthen others and do my best to just, have people on my side and keep building the relationships that I am building, because, you know, I was building relationships with other people outside of the survivor group, you know, with people like Tori and with people like Josh. And, you know, I love Dusty and I was getting close to him, but he was a wild card. I wasn't sure I could trust him, but, you know, just still trying to like build on
he
those relationships.
He seems so innocent, except for the sneak peek we see coming up for next week. But he wrote a love letter to Bananas last week, and he just seemed so like, I mean, even with the name like Dusty, he just seemed so like a sweetheart. And then they showed a clip for next week, and I'm like, wait a minute now.
Well, the thing about Dusty is he's like a puppy until he's a dragon, and I say that with the utmost respect, because I love everything about Dusty. I love how raw of a person he is.
Wow,
and when he gets competitive. Fair. He just turns into a dragon. That's it. You know, he doesn't mean to harm. He doesn't. He's just
interesting.
A big dragon.
Or it's like a Hulk kind of thing, where it's like
a Hulk thing. Yeah.
Once you get him upset, like, he like, becomes this whole other. Yeah.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah.
Intrigued to see that. Okay.
He's feisty when he wants to be. And it's actually like, he's one of the most entertaining people that I've ever met in my life. Like, I have not stopped laughing since I've met Dusty. He is just truly one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And
who's funnier, Dusty or Josh? Because we saw you, Josh, we weren't going to let you leave here without talking about you and Josh canoodling, cupcaking in the hot tub.
Canoodling!
Getting near one another. Yeah, there were some noodles cunning. I don't know how that, but yes.
That's funny. No, that's
where do you guys stand
that
now?
That reminds me of Mean Girls. who I think is funnier between Dusty and Josh? Definitely Dusty. Sorry, Josh.
Do you
Josh
still flirt with
funny,
Josh?
Funny, but Dusty's like on a different caliber of funny. Like, Dusty can literally just, all he does is make you laugh, period. Like, with Josh, it was different, because, like, he made me laugh here and there. And, like, we had like a good banter and everything, but we also had other conversations, like deeper conversations about, like, just life and about the universe and about
dating.
Huh?
Kissing?
No.
Because you guys definitely look like Josh admitted there was some flirtation going on there.
Yeah, so. I mean, I would say like, I am a very flirty person just in general. And that sometimes comes off as like, I am flirting specifically with one person. I just feel like, you know, we maybe had like a little bit of a flirtatious energy, I guess. But it was like, we were just... I don't know. Like, we would just be silly and like laugh passing and giggle time. And like have like, I don't know. I guess we had gone to the point where we're like, let's protect each other. I feel like we had each other's backs. And that's just like, that was just the energy, I guess, between our like friendship. But I saw it more as a friendship personally. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Just had to clarify. It's the official podcast. We had to clarify. We'll be clarifying Tori some more later, I believe, but just had to clarify. We saw a little flirting there and just had to get clear on what was going on. For those who want to get clear on what's going on in your life, Cassidy, and follow you on social media, where can they do so?
Yes. So I have an Instagram account. And it's kind of a weird one, but it's Khaleesi. I used to have like white blonde hair and I loved Game of Thrones. So my Instagram is at Khaleesi. It's CHALEESI. And then I have a Twitter. It's, I think, Cassidy. Oh gosh. I think it's like Cass Michelle with three E's and a three. I think if you just type my name and you can find me, but I don't really use Twitter that much anyways. I mostly am on Instagram. And that's pretty much it. I have a Cameo if anybody wants to find me on there, but I'm really bad at social media, actually. Like, I should get better at it. I'm trying to post more. I'm trying to include people more in my life. I'm not the best, but that's really the main form that I use.
Don't worry. It's all good, sis. And I as somebody who's lived with you, I just want to say that even if people decide to follow you on Instagram, it's worth it because you are such a sweetheart. And I love how good you are at art. That's something that Cassidy doesn't get a lot of recognition for because like we don't talk about it on the challenge, but she made all of her own clothes. She always was the most Okay, a lot of them. And I raided her closet every single night we went out. I mean, like,
that's amazing.
Yes. She's incredibly talented. So Cass, I hope that you really do start posting some of your work and hopefully open up an Etsy shop so I can just start buying your clothes and don't have to keep borrowing them from you. But definitely follow Cassidy because she's a super sweetheart and a light in the game for sure. And I think that there's going to be a lot of power coming from her the rest of the season. So I'm excited to watch it.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited to watch too. Thank you so much, Cassidy, for sharing your story and sharing some behind the scenes on the challenge. And welcome to the crazy, chaotic family that is the challenge. So glad to have you on board. And it's been great watching what you've done so far and cannot wait to continue, especially since Chaosity's coming. I've got the popcorn ready, excited to see what happens next week.
Yeah, I hit her pretty well in Survivor, but she's in there for sure. And she comes out a little more on the challenge.
Bring her out.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I'm super excited to be a part of this now. Obviously, I said I hadn't really watched the challenge since high school, but just playing playing the challenge gave me such a renewed love for it. Like, I knew that I knew I loved it back in the day, but now I love it so much more, and I'm so honored and grateful to be a part of this. And I'm really excited to see, you know, what happens for the rest of the season. I'm grateful for TJ, for the producers, for the whole cast. They're amazing. And I'm just lucky to have been able to meet everybody and build these relationships. So I'm excited.
Aww,
cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Cass.
Thank you.
Bye.
Attention all challenge fans. There is a ton of great challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
Oh my gosh, that was such a great interview. So much insight from the first rookie we've had on this season on the podcast.
Yes.
Loved chatting with Cassidy. So glad she came by. Tori, How are you feeling? How's your social media feeling? Where can they find you on social media?
You guys can find me at Tori_Deal on Instagram. And honestly, I just be happier if you listen to us here. You know, it just makes me feel so good to know that you guys care about what we think about the episode and you share this experience with us. Devin, where can they follow you?
That is so sweet. Go to my website. I like the hits. You can go to Devin Simone. That's Devin with a Y, Simone with an I.com. No, I really do appreciate you guys being here too. You can also find me on Instagram at Devin Simone, TikTok at Devin Simone. I'm most active on IG, so come on over, say hi. And then Amazon, we'll be doing, we do lives and shout you out. I'm trying to get Tori to come on to one, but if you just Google Amazon and Devin Simone, you'll see my channel or my store. It's called Devin Simone's Gift Closet. You can see some of my favorites there, but just click the follow button. And then we do lives. You'll get a notification and you can chat with us. So we interact and say hi. And we've had a lot of challenge fans there sort of in the chat with us as we're doing live video. It's fun. So make sure you check that out. And then, of course, if you liked this episode, please rate and review it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and tell a friend and a cousin and a step uncle and a neighbor and the coworker you like, the one you don't like, tell all of them. And then please, please, please have them rate and review it.
Yes. And then make sure you catch new episodes of The Challenge USA airing on CBS. And P.S., there's another episode airing this week.
Amazing. And we'll see you back here right after for a brand new episode of MTV's official challenge podcast.
Chaosity. Attention all challenge fans. There is a ton of great challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything The Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.